Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Do you ever listen back to the show?
Yeah.
Do you realize how we just sold this wonderful show of just like sex appeal and action, and then you pivot to your selling of this show? Which one do you think people want to get into?
Do you ever listen back to the show? Do you remember the guy that's in this room that's funny?
Me.
I remember one time at the other aunt's house, there was a tiny penguin that I played with. And
living?
Then later, a ceramic penguin.
Oh, okay, not alive.
And then later in the day, one of the aunts had noticed that I turned the penguin to the north, and she came in and she hobbled me.
They were the first motion picture stars to take set pieces like comedy routines on the road to play them on stage to live audiences. So in the movie, they know how long to pause
like
for
Steve-O.
Laughs. A little bit, yeah. But they know how long to pause for. There was a great scene where Harpo coughed a loogie into Groucho's eye. No, not really. No, they would. They
I
would
like
know.
The one where Groucho jumps out of the plane and
he emits.
Who didn't go to bed thinking about that last night?
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show, enjoying our second decade of the show that's become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Boone, North Carolina, where Rob was with a great mushroom motel. Needles Highway, South Dakota. I still can't get over that. Needles Highway, South Dakota. If you haven't heard that episode, you'll want to tune in from
Monday's
a day or two
and
ago.
I think that's my favorite Rolling Stones LP, Mushroom Motel.
Mushroom Motel. We'll get to it.
All right.
Gardner, Montana, Timpaki, Crete. Sedona, Arizona, and the People's Republic of Bangladesh. Wow. That's a part of the world where, you get to be my age and you begin to realize that there are certain parts of the world you will never see.
Well, I don't know about
because
that.
Because my bucket list is massive.
You got invited to do another charity event for Bangladesh? And you were brought out there.
The concert, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I did years ago.
Yeah.
Tears for Bangladesh.
You're too young to even remember that. To
my
pull
friend
that.
Came to me, sadness in his eyes.
Oscar, do you know the concert for Bangladesh?
No. I didn't even know that it was a relevant situation.
This is before We Are the World.
Oh, it's old.
This is before Live Aid.
What about Bras Across America?
This is before Bros Across America. This was the first time that rock and roll musicians got together and decided to... Can you turn the music
on? Yeah,
Jesus Christ. This is before the idea of, doing rock concerts. Is this a live one right here?
No, this is the single. George Harrison, it was his first big project after the Beatles broke up.
Bangladesh?
Yeah, he wanted to organize, because I think Ravi Shankar comes from Bangladesh.
I wish somebody was into Bolivia.
And
we could use the help.
He was a very famous sitar player. I might be bangling the details, but as I remember it, he explained to him how bad it was in Bangladesh, and George did a huge benefit concert at Madison Square Garden.
I have a friend from Bangladesh. He made no impact. Okay. It's still terrible there.
Well, I mean, think how bad it could be.
I have a horrible joke, but I'm not going to share
it. Don't do it.
I have a friend from Bangladesh. He was always hungry.
Marvin? I don't think it's famine there.
No,
what's that?
It's quality of life.
Well, the problems in Bangladesh, Mike, are multifold.
Multifold.
Is that where the jewelry comes from?
Which
bangles?
One? Yes. No, the band came from there.
Walk like an Egyptian. Makes
what
sense.
What is something? I know what kind of show this is going to be already because we are so stream of consciousness right now. Because sometimes we need to do that. It's just fun. Oscar, somebody on social media posted something about why doesn't Oscar celebrate some weird thing they do.
Oh, I saw it. It was
the Day of the Sea.
Oh, good.
Day of the Sea in a landlocked country.
The Day of the Sea.
I celebrate it every day at my house, all the time.
That's not nice.
No, you know, it's SEA, not the letter C, right? Just so as you know.
They really have something called the Day of the Sea?
Yeah. So Bolivia is a land of losers. That's why I left.
That's terrible to say about an entire country.
He likes winners.
Yeah. I came to the USA, number one.
Right.
I saw the signs and I said, we got to go, Dad. Let's make it happen. No.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize when Oscar's family emigrated to the United States that the whole idea was Oscar's. As a small child, as a child of six. Yeah.
His first words was go to Olney.
Yeah.
His first words were.
It were. I know. I got excited.
It,
I'm sorry.
It was. Wow. It was, if you could flash back to Coming to America 1, the OG original.
Yes.
It
right?
was. Where are we going to go for a new life? And I spun a globe.
Give you a little
globe.
Of that if you'd like. If you'd
please,
like,
please, 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 please.
He's the king. Oh, he's the king. That's my favorite single part of Wee. That guy that just starts. He's got the deadpan face that he starts saying, he's the king.
There are parts of that movie that are so good it actually made me enjoy the second. There was like spillover. It was so because it was fun.
Yeah, but I looked at when you take it as a whole. I remember I felt about Coming to America 1 the way I felt about Coming to America 2. It's not something where you have a sustained
parts
wow.
are bigger. Parts are better than the whole.
100%. It has a series of bits. In order to be a smash comedy, mm-hmm. really, this is the truth for comedy movies. Mm-hmm. Always been my theory on comedy movies. In order to be a smash, you have to, a good comedy will have a series of things you remember
yep.
that are funny, that stand out. A really good comedy will have more, and a great comedy will have it from the minute the movie starts until the minute the movie ends. That's how
overlap.
Difficult it is.
They overlap.
That's how difficult it is to write a great comedy. The one that comes to mind, because it's the most recent one that really did that, although I will give The Wrong Missy a little credit with David Spade.
That was a great film.
They made a valiant effort, but it had a little few moments. But Something About Mary would have gag, 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 right through all of it, and then the dialogue is just linking the problem with Coming to America, as I see it, as far as a comedy, way too much of the chat, chat, chat
between a lot of Arsenio.
Way too much Arsenio, and that's it. That's I don't know where I
you
go
know
off
another
on that
another
tangent,
great comedy is the most recent The Invisible Man. Was very funny.
Fantastic.
With Kate
Can
Moss?
I get back to my story?
I mean, Elizabeth Moss.
For the
Kate
love
Moss.
Of God, please.
All of the Mosses.
So,
what were you saying about the day of the sea?
So I remember my father saying, point of where you want to go. Like, where should we go for our new life, a new world?
And what was he having you point at?
Well, this is the thing. Remember, I was left-handed, so they would tie my hand behind my back in Bolivia.
Right, to train you.
To make me right-handed, because they have these old
witchcraft to thought.
So they,
that's not exclusive to Bolivia. The Irish, the old Irish. I was referred to by the Gaelic word cathogue. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it's spelled, but it's some evil term about left-handers that my grandfather's sister referred to me as cathogue.
Enough that you would be like less than welcome at an event, or was she just joking?
She was the sweetest. She was Aunt Kitty.
Meow.
And Aunt Kitty was, here's the difference I remember, all right? When you went to my father's mother's relatives on that side.
Right.
The rules were totally different. Don't touch this. Don't touch this. I need, I need, I need. It was my first real experiences with givers and takers.
Okay.
And they were takers. They had been taken care of for all their... My cousin Teddy's hysterical when he talks about it, when he talks about them squandering the family fortune. It's hysterical, really, when you get him going on the fact that but this is the truth as I remember it. They literally did not work one day. In their lives, and there was no marriage. So think about that for a second.
It's
right?
Like
that's
Mike,
the way these
like
ladies.
Grey Gardens.
It was kind of that, but the house wasn't falling apart.
The payoff
apart,
was, you know, they helped all of their family members go to college, and they took care of them. They were wonderful people.
No.
Oh, that must
you
be
got
the other
wrong
side.
Generation.
Oh,
my father's sister mm-hmm. paid for seven kids, half of their college education.
Wow.
Seven. Five on my uncle's side.
Wow.
And my father, Kathy, and I.
So they squandered the fortune on themselves?
It's sustaining themselves. They had servants. And they had people that cooked and cleaned for them in New Haven, Connecticut. And they had people who cooked and cleaned for them in Maine.
You know,
and it was all the time.
I always say that you can't take it with you. They did.
They took every dime.
Yeah, they did their level
so
best.
On my father's side, if I'm not mistaken, jeez. God, this is what you try to keep it alive,
I
folks, if
this.
You have a big family, because you kind of try to remember.
Sure.
Was Aunt Kitty, and she had a career as a school teacher. Mm. And I remember she lived in New Haven, Connecticut as well. And we would only occasionally visit her. But I remember at the end of her life, towards the end of her life, my mom brought her into our home and we took care of her. Because she didn't have anybody.
That was the way it was back then.
It was kind of the way it was, Rob, but I remember the reason for that was my mom absolutely loved her because she was the kindest of all of them to my mom when she came into the family.
So Kitty didn't squander?
She didn't squander because she had a career, but she had her own little house, okay. And she had knickknacks. These wonderful little things on shelves, yeah, everywhere. And we'd come home and we'd come over to her house, and I'm 5, 6, 7 years old. And I tell her, Mike, don't touch. My mom was used to being at the other house. Mm-hmm. And she'd say, don't touch it. And my Kitty would say, they're just things. He can touch anything he wants. So what if one of them breaks? But she'd also been a school teacher, so she knew about kids, but she never married herself.
Were not allowed to touch the Hummels at me mom's house.
Did you have Hummels?
My dad's mother had a tremendous Hummel collection.
She was a thing person.
And
so don't touch them.
There was not a lot of fun.
Well, they're pretty valuable, aren't they?
Well, you'd like to think so, but they didn't turn out to be all that great.
I remember one time at the other aunt's house, there was a tiny penguin that I played with. And
living?
Then later, a penguin, a ceramic penguin.
Oh, okay, not alive.
And then later in the day, one of the aunts had noticed that I turned the penguin to the north, and she came in and she hobbled me. She hobbled me. That's a little misery
she said,
reference that they have.
Mike, do you know which way penguins face in nature?
Yes,
it's called the north, Mike.
They face to the north. So back to the day of the
sea.
I
tried to,
old enough to remember.
Yes, I remember with my right hand, which I was just learning how to use.
And you probably were awkward with it.
Yeah, yeah, I was trying to point to Washington, D.C., mm-hmm, but I didn't have my motor skills, so I landed on Silver Spring, Maryland, which then took us to Olney.
Very close.
You know, the suburbs.
So you were doing shtick, and I was asking a serious question about this festival. I didn't realize that when you led your family as a single-digit child to the United States, you landed in Silver Spring.
The port of Silver Spring.
Still no water there. It's a sad story. And for new listeners, hello, I'm from Bolivia. This is why I'm slandering my mother country. I'm a citizen of this country. The USA, go USA, I always say, is now my country. But I can slander the other country without any retribution or cancellation from the audience because I'm from there. I was born there.
Well, it's like Rob and I can make fat jokes all day
correct
long.
Yeah,
I can make Irish jokes.
Just wanted
all day
to
long
clarify that. Now,
by the way, when you talk about stereotypes, the Irish drinking stereotypes, not true.
No.
Not. I always like to say that. It's not true, not.
So,
yeah. And also the Polish, Mike, are very smart people.
When the Bolivian people lost multiple waterways in multiple wars. I think we're 0-10 for wars. We would go to war with people, and then they would beat us, and then we say, we'll get you next time, and we never got them next time.
Mike, they're like the New York Giants of South American countries.
Yes, yes.
The current New York Giants. I have to ask this. Did you have, what was the major river that was going through Bolivia?
Growing up, the only waterway I knew now that belongs to Bolivia, and only half of it does, is Lake Titicaca. Titicaca.
That's a massive
yes
body of water.
Yes.
And are there homes there on the lake, on Lake Titicaca?
I've been to the Lake Titicaca multiple times. There are homes and quote unquote resorts, but it is not the type of resorts you see in North America. You'll see a home every, I would say, 60 kilometers. Nothing crazy.
Okay.
Here or there, or a restaurant, right?
Right.
They have great trout. I remember that as a child. But
does Peru border Lake Titicaca?
They
too
share ownership of the lake, and I have taken a ferry from Bolivia to Peru.
How is the ownership? Do they like get it every other weekend and Christmas?
No. I think that each of them say, this is where our borderline is.
Oh, I understand.
And
like Madonna.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like the Rio Grande.
Yes,
half
exactly
and half.
Right, right.
The sad part is this, is at one point, Bolivia did have a coastline, and then they went to war, and they lost. And then they had another coastline. And they went to war, and then they lost. I think it's a total of 5 or 6 wars with various countries, and that was that. So they celebrate the loss, or the L's, as the kids like to say, with a wonderful day of the sea. When you remember the days where we had access to the sea and tried to take...
Well, what country would you have to go through now to get to the sea? Peru?
Or Brazil.
You know, Mike, this is fascinating. Okay. I'm looking at this. What they called the coastline when Brazil had a coastline... Mm-hmm. Is the littoral department. L-I-T-O-R-A-L.
Yeah. Literal.
Literal.
Littering and.
I'm looking right now for sale. Yeah, yeah. House in La Paz, Bolivia. $140,000. Not a giveaway by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
No.
And I'm looking at
but
this.
But not really appreciating, if you know what I mean.
Holding steady.
Okay. Because they got troubles still, right, in Bolivia?
Well, it's a communist regime. I think for the better part of the last 15 years, there hasn't been a necessarily open democracy there. While it's a pseudo democracy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Some of my greatest memories are me leaving Bolivia at the airport because it just even when I was younger, I would go there. I was like, man. I can't wait to get back to paved roads.
How long since you've been there?
10 years.
Will you go back again, do you think?
My father's begging me, as he's down there now, because he hates his family, but he wants to save,
he has a family.
When he's down there now, and it's a communist country, and he comes from the United States, they watch him? Do they have people? Do they have that kind of secret police?
How about this? It's not stamped Venezuela communism, right?
Right.
Okay. Cuba communism.
It's not Cuba communism. It's more like... we're going to do what we want when we want and have somewhat loose elections and say this is all A-okay.
So does it lean
work it out
like anarchy a little bit? Is there a looseness to it that there's almost no structure?
Oh, no, there's a structure. It's close to a dictatorship. Oh,
okay.
All and right. These are my views of coming from a free land like the States.
Yes.
So I'm sure that I'm being aggressive and maybe not 100% fair. What I do know is that my father... is donating his time to public health down there and helping them prepare and deal with the current pandemic.
His specialty, Mike, remains curing left-handed people.
As he said, if I can't help my country, then who can I help? I said, you can help.
So he's loyal to his original.
Yeah, I said, can you help mom out? She's a little lonely at home.
She got 10 printers in the garage.
But she isn't, is she really? She's fine with it, isn't she really? After all these years, do you think she pines for your dad every day? Do you think she's got her own life? This is what happens on Sundays.
We'll throw on Downton Abbey. Once we get to the fourth storyline, which somehow involves a loveless marriage.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, she'll turn it into her father or my father, like her dad being a certain way. Cause there's a big patriarch within Downton Abbey or she'll say, your dad did this to me. And I'm like, mom, don't want to hear about dad. This is Downton Abbey.
That's We're sad. Good. We're good. I feel bad for her.
Bad for me. I got to sit through 6 episodes of her yelling about my dad.
Downton Abbey triggers it. Go figure that. Who would figure that out?
How many times have you been through the whole episode? Because there's not that many episodes of the whole show.
There are. Are you kidding me?
There's 4 seasons of how many?
6 seasons.
Oh, 6?
And each season has 9 episodes.
Hold it. 63.
Thank you.
Did you watch it, Rob, when it was around?
No, I have the DVDs to this day, but I haven't watched it.
I think.
It's right up your alley. Are you kidding me?
You dig it. I think you dig it. I think it would be a great escape.
I would have Downton Abbey parties.
By the way, we started binging Animal Kingdom last night, the polar opposite of Downton Abbey, and I was like, why did I wait so long to binge this season? Because it is so good.
And the new
I think it's more guy good than it is for everybody good, Oscar, because... Because it starts with just, rat-a-tat-tat, shoot 'em up, and I loved every second of it.
Is that the kind of show that drops one episode a week?
Yes.
Actually, you benefited from waiting then.
Yeah, I can get a few more.
Is it Skylar? Is that the new girlfriend that just the baby?
You know what? I'm not sure.
You know
I don't know if I've gotten there yet. I have just gotten done with the whole cousins thing.
Cousins.
I've just gotten done with those two episodes.
You're just about to get to it.
Okay. So I've gotten is there a new girlfriend?
Well, the girlfriend.
Is it the girlfriend of the guy with the long hair? Have a baby together?
Smoke show.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting there and Shannon's like, she probably didn't have a baby. I'm like, no, this is Hollywood.
She probably didn't have a baby.
Yeah.
There are actresses that are attractive all over Hollywood. There are actresses that...
I would leave my wife for that actress in a heartbeat.
Well, that's nice.
That's the second negative wife reference on today's show.
The first one was a joke. This one's serious. Palate cleanser.
This woman, there are sex symbols in Hollywood. There are attractive people in Hollywood.
Right.
Then there are actresses that just, how would I describe it? They just, they radiate sex appeal like immediate. Yeah. I mean, it's just constant. And then like they've got her running around and she's running around in a romper.
Yeah.
That has, and she's wearing a bra underneath the romper and she's got one of the
shoulder straps,
the little
sleeve
straps
tattoo, yeah.
that's hanging down.
Just amazing.
And it's just this, and it's like she's so, you know, 1% body fat and running around, and she's very attractive.
Is she blonde?
It's worth what
she's brunette. I'd let
very
this
Latina, very Latina
ruin
looking.
Me. I let her ruin me.
Oh yes,
financially. She's take it everything. Take everything.
Very
here's
bad
my
girl.
Pin number.
And the woman that plays the young Ellen Barkin is spectacular too.
Oh, she's
I think
very
she's
attractive.
Great in those. So the show's
like,
great.
Are they doing like a flashback thing where now Ellen Barkin is younger? Oh,
yeah, remember, and this show is like equal opportunity. You'll see dudes banging, you'll see women banging, you'll see dudes banging women, and vice versa. Pulls the poles, holes the holes.
See, this is how he described.
You'll get everything.
This is how he described Downton Abbey to me.
But I don't like the boyfriend that got out of town. I don't like him.
Oh, well, he's
so
sending her money. Spoiler alert.
I hope he's not on the show anymore.
Yeah.
Are you watching Murder in Our Apartment yet? Only Murder in Our Apartment? The Martin Short, Steve Martin show yet?
No, just didn't do it for me. But
you got to stay with it. It is
Did you get to Nathan Lane? Didn't get to it. It's too... It's just too broad. It's like everything Steve Martin's ever done.
It's
like everything.
Actually,
Martin Short does not save that show.
It is getting. I think I'm on episode 6 now, and it's gotten to where it's more plot centric, and there is a fascinating plot and the undercurrents of them doing a podcast. I stand by it. I think it's great. They're solving a murder. I mean, it's a murder mystery show.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you ever listen back to the show?
Yeah.
Do you realize how we just sold this wonderful show of just like sex appeal and action, and then you pivot to your selling of this show? Which one do you think people want to get into?
Do you ever listen back to the show?
No.
Do you remember the guy that's in this room that's funny?
Me. I'm funny.
Sure.
All right.
Let's go with this.
Oh my God, we're running out of time.
As Mike would say, I gave it a try. I just couldn't get into it.
Moving on.
I'm not gonna be able to do this.
What?
I want to talk about internet addiction. I want to talk about it. It's like we don't have time. We'll do it tomorrow or the next day. But we're not gonna get to it today.
We'll do it live.
Now listen, one of the things we do have today, and I want to tease this before we go to our first break here. Rob Spiewak has a nostalgia corner. Even though Rob, I beg to differ. If you're somebody that doesn't like shticky. Sort of.
I wish
like,
if you would
not,
stay with it.
But
I
no,
think,
let
but,
me
you know,
explain.
But
stay
a,
with
but
it.
There's enough.
I don't want a show that I have to stick with. And you're agreeing with me that the first episode or two is just
no.
It's
no.
It's,
I didn't agree. I said that you would get into it if you stayed with it. I feel you would because it's got a good plot.
I don't like to slog through something that's got like sticky Steve Martin humor and Martin Short doing bad material, which really, if you look at a lot of Martin Short's career, you know, it hasn't been a 10, right?
Oh, I mean, it hasn't.
No, I'm talking about the choices of his movies.
Oh, movies, yeah. But I mean,
this is another one of those movies.
Look at the
Steve
overall
Martin,
career.
Hold on. Steve Martin, brilliant comedian, right? Martin Short, brilliant comic actor,
right.
As far as a sketch artist. Probably no one better. As a talk show guest, spectacular.
Yeah, I would say character work.
Martin, about half as good on
three
a talk
quarters,
show.
Probably three. Maybe, no, think back to the days of Johnny. He was a great guest.
He was great when he was 28.
Yeah, true.
But now it's
still
just
got
like,
it.
So I watched that and it's just this, I don't like, if you're going to have a comedy based on murder, which is a formula that is so hack, in my opinion, that it just gets old really quick. Where, oh, they're actors running around and doing this. Oh, we're scared now. We're doing that. I like comedy to be based on other stuff.
I really do. That's never worked for me.
It's like
very
Murder
much
on the Orient Express.
Well,
that's
that
kind of what it is.
That doesn't enjoy. No, I don't like that.
But I mean, the thing about it, it's sticky. It's not. It doesn't. The writing isn't all that good. It's too broad. It's too slapsticky.
There's
you know
a little
I mean?
No slapstick's not.
They're
the
not
word.
Really they're, in danger. You know they're not really in danger, and you don't feel any danger because they're too busy being funny
men. I don't know that you need danger, and I think Selena Gomez is very good in it as well.
She's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just I watched one episode and I was like rolling my eyes half of it. I was really rolling my eyes. It was that bad.
Well, I apologize.
As far as I was concerned.
I enjoyed
You're
it.
You don't have to apologize. You have your opinion. There are people that are going to agree with you, but you've recommended other things. Knives Out was kind of a murder mystery
thing. Yeah, and I thought that was very excellent.
That was funny.
And we're going to get a sequel to that. Yeah.
I'd watch the sequel.
All the ingredients seem to add up for me. I don't know. But you know what? It could be narrow casting. Absolutely. Sometimes there's stuff that just appeals to me. And that's
here's what
case.
I like. I like my murder here. I like my comedy here. And I when they get close to each other, it just doesn't. Maybe it's because I think the world is too nuts a place right now. When I want violence in a movie, I want that violence, not every time, but most of the time, I want that violence to go, man, that's pretty horrible.
Why don't we
get together?
I sure
hate that to happen to me.
Let's just get together.
No, hold on. Let me finish my point. You're not listening.
All right.
When I see violence, that's the way I want it. Because I think when you see other stuff, when you totally make it a comical exercise, it just diminishes the fact that, you know, there's a dead person and all this. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I do. But you know, but
as
they get into it, that the death is not diminished because they actually develop the character of why the death happened and how the person that died fit into it. And also, there is some pretty dead
what
on...
What is the name of the show again? What is it?
Only Murder in Our Hotel. Or Our Apartment. Only Murder in Our Apartment.
Do you remember the title of the show
it's
that
a
you
complicated,
like so much?
You know what? Slack off, buddy.
Slack
it's
off.
It's a really...
What did you... What, your addled...
Yeah, you really told
Dex
him.
Beer brain, pull the number and look down in your computer and grab it. I'm trying to plug it for you.
I think
here.
It's only murders in this brain.
No, it's only... The thing, it's on Hulu and it's a horrible title. That is the one
it's
thing...
It's on
over,
Hulu. Good
yeah,
luck it's, trying
and,
to
and
find it.
And if you search right. Only Murder, it will pop up for you on
only
Hulu.
Murders in the Building.
Only Murders in the Building. Thank you, Pony. I was
thank
close.
You, Pony. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Always
Pony.
Nice to have him on my side.
Very welcome.
But
what? Wait, you don't help. Think he was on your
no,
side?
He, the
that's
way
the fastest he's ever moved.
It's true. That's what I said.
He's like,
he was helping his buddy out
buddy
there and getting
only
in
murders
only murders in the
our building.
Building.
And there are some very pointed and pretty intrinsically funny comments on podcasting, which I find very funny as well, because one of the things they're doing is doing the three main characters meet because they're all fans of true crime podcasts, and they start producing a true crime podcast, and they have to get it financed, and that's how Nathan Lane gets into it, and that's pretty funny too. So I like that.
This is the thing off the air we've talked about the show, right?
Yeah,
Where even then I felt like not compelling enough for me. But there are some shows you've brought up in the past that I was like, okay, this is probably good. I can't
only Murders in the Building on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
Has a 100% score with critics and has a 96% score with the audience.
That seems high.
On anything do you get 100%?
Nah, that's, you know, contrived.
What do you think? They paid him off? I don't even look at Rotten Tomatoes. What a pleasant surprise.
This 10 episode charmer streaming on Hulu is a fine send up of media culture, in particular the true crime genre, which makes stars out of corpses. There you go. I'm willing to, you know, admit when how many series,
do
TV shows
the time
or movies?
For this BS? No, you don't. You like in out, not a big thick plot line, and then you're
by
out.
The way, that was Doreen St. Felix from The New Yorker.
Oh.
Which by the way is the font that's used on the show. That's weird.
Weird.
Smell a rat.
Well, no, they have to give, they're trying to paint the portrait of New York, so they're probably using it to suggest New York.
Only Murders in the Building is so fantastically fun, you'll be as giddy as an 11-year-old girl who just mastered the double hula hoop.
See, Mike, you like hula hoops.
That's... Mike could never... You know,
no, man, no. The things they gush about. That's great. Highly, highly recommended. It's 100%.
I had no idea. You know what? I had no idea.
This is every critic giving it a rave.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
But the contrarian in us says, nah, can't be that good.
Well, I mean, even if it's only three quarters that good, it's still 75.
You know what?
It's very strong.
Our wonderful listeners can weigh in. They'll tell us if we're wrong, right?
No, I value that there are people that like this kind of stuff and people that don't. Rob knows me, goes back a long time, remembers I'm not a Steve Martin guy.
You know what? Actually, ever. You're not. You aren't. You
I know liked that, him in Roxanne. It's just,
Roxanne was the same kind of okay.
Well, Roxanne was, you know, that was sort
Cyrano
of the beginning.
Cyrano de Bergerac.
Well, it was the beginning of the end for Steve sort of being the serious business of comedy. When he's like, yeah. I'm going to take something classic. Mike, you have to admit, it was pretty good when he'd come out with an arrow around his head.
Fine.
That was...
back in the day,
yeah,
when I was... I bought the album
sure,
when I was a
did.
Kid.
Yeah.
I'm so mad at my mother. You know? She's 106 years old, and so I'm having him work on the transmission of my car. Father Horrible.
No, his movie...
And my sister would bring me up. My sister would bring me up there and say, we're going to watch Father of the Bride again. It is so funny. I'm like...
No, his movie career, and I mean, I'm no great champion of Steve Martin.
The Jerk was great.
But The Jerk was great, but yes. Steve Martin's movie career, not that great. Stand-up right. guy, clever writer, good talk show guest in the
so
day.
So getting back to...
But I like this show.
Any murder but The Apartment.
That's right.
So look, is it worth a revisit? I won't, but you could. If you feel that way, but you might love it. You might like. Obviously, I have something wrong with me.
No, you don't. I mean, people. I mean, there's stuff you like, stuff you don't like.
You've always said Skin to Win.
Animal Kingdom.
Oh,
getting back to the original show we were talking about.
Skin to Win.
Animal Kingdom. It just if you like that rapid fire out of the gate, we're diving right in with action, and it's good action, and it's like Betrayal and Cousins and the evil Smurf who set her family up for all of this. They don't know she's got an apartment. Mm-hmm. It's just go, and it's a mile
it's
a minute.
But trashy. You see,
but that to me, that is so unblinkingly
unpleasant.
Yeah, why do I watch that?
It's the world is a horrible place, and you might as well experience it in your art.
Yeah, but then that's sort of like when you're talking about, you don't want to see murders and comedy together, because, you know, well, it's the world, you got to accept
Billions is great. Last season of Billions, things really changed.
Is that the right show?
I wish I'd stuck with that. No. I didn't stick with that one. The one I want to see is Succession. That's a good
season.
I didn't think we were going to be talking about the
just
TV.
Quick teaser on Billions. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I'm not giving anything away. I really enjoy when people roll the pandemic into their productions. Timing wise of how they dealt with it, which is, by the way, not easy to do.
No,
you literally had to film during the pandemic.
Yeah.
To make sure that like this was,
you
happening,
had some content
right?
ready
yes.
to go. Yeah.
And at one point Axe Capital, he comes on a video feed to his company. He says, we've done everything we can to lie and cheat to get you vaccines when you weren't supposed to his staff, right?
Billions, 89%.
Lie
yes,
and cheat.
Yes.
So 89%.
So he comes on and says, everybody that has been vaccinated, take off your mask. He goes, all of you, we've done everything. We figured out how to get you and pretend you have terminal illnesses to get the vaccine before anybody else. Because he's always finding his edge.
Right.
Right.
And then there's... Half the people have their masks on still because they have been vaccinated.
Uh-huh.
They
oh,
said,
my God.
Those of you that have not gotten vaccinated, we will work on that. But starting today, you're fired.
Wow. That's Why worth watching this
surreal.
Show.
Surreal.
That's like that's worth watching
yes.
the show.
That's a good plot point.
And I could go on about that, too, because I guess they nominated a new Surgeon General in the state of Florida, a vaccine skeptic.
Really? Yeah. Is he from an urgent care?
Probably. We got to take a break. Okay. That was more time than I allotted to the opening of the show. We have to take a break. When we come back, it's the homepage. And then later on, tease your Nostalgia Corner. What are you going to be talking about today?
The oldest Nostalgia Corner we've ever done. And also the sixth funniest movie ever made.
Whoa.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Fifth.
All right.
Fifth.
I'm sorry. That's just because of the discussion we had. We'll be right back. You know I love you. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. It's aging television heartthrob Tom Selleck. Back in the 80s, I played a Hawaiian detective on Magnum PI. Look, this isn't my first rodeo, and let me tell you something. I wouldn't be here today if I thought the Mike O'Mara bonus show took advantage of any American podcast listener. Or worse, that it was some kind of way to take your home. Now, who the hell am I kidding? I'd sell my own grandmother for a hot lunch. No, a Mike O'Mara bonus show subscription isn't some kind of trick. take away your home. In fact, it's quite affordable. I mean, I can't afford that kind of thing anymore, but surely you can. After all, this is how Mike, Rob, and Oscar try to feed their families. Go to MikeOMaraShow.com and start your subscription today, won't you? Look, I'm proud to be part of the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show family. I trust them, and I think you can too. The other thing people always ask me is if I banged Courtney Cox when I was on Friends.
Yes.
Yes, I did. And I think you could too.
He turned Rich? That in about 82 minutes.
We love you. Keep them coming. Fantastic. When was the last time you checked the current value of your home?
Yeah,
have you
Oscar.
Looked at that lately? Do they teach you that here?
Brad.
With home equity rising at the highest level in years, you may be sitting on a golden opportunity without even knowing it. The nationwide average, homes have increased 18% in value. It's bananas. And yours could be worth even more. So what does this mean to you?
Bananas.
With record low interest rates. I checked them this morning. They're bananas.
That Mike, if you had to pick a fruit to
right.
describe interest rates.
Yeah, you know what? Two fruits.
Yeah.
Peachy bananas.
Oh, my God. Get out. Look out.
Look, there's a lot of equity out there. You can remove PMI, pay off credit cards, student loans, or take that vacation you've been putting off, making all of it tax deductible. It's more important now than ever to work with a team you can trust. And I trust my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial. Cornerstone First is a direct lender. They got their own money, so they can guarantee to meet or beat any competitor. And they will tell you what your home is worth with no obligation. Whether a refinance or a purchasing, a new home.
Hey, is it time to buy? You buy a purchase.
Whether you
house.
Want to do the refinance or a purchasing. You need to call now. Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Let me give it to you. 202-625-1221 and we thank you. And
you know why you have to go to them, Mike? Because if you don't, the rent stays the same.
Stays the same as before. That's it. What happened? What happened to my thing?
You need it?
No, I'm looking for it. I'm going to figure this
okay,
out.
Okay, it's fine, because I've got it standing by if you'd like it.
The rent stays the same as before. Why is that so low?
Shh, everybody listen.
Because I turned it down at the end of the show yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
Yes, it is, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Will and Jada Smith had a scare at their Calabasas home on Monday afternoon. A fire broke out. Fire!
Oh, no! Fire!
Fire, 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 fire. A witness said the fire actually broke out in the basement, and a fireman had to be treated. Apparently, Will and Jada were there, but no one else was injured, so everybody's doing okay, which
good.
Is good news.
Is there a criminal investigation?
No, there is not.
Because
no,
I think the cops could get their kid out and look for some fresh prints.
Oh, God. That's just painful.
Because he was on a show.
Gross.
That and other great jokes on the new Martin Short show, Only Murder in Our Building.
In the building.
Only in murders the building. In the building.
Murders in
only
the
murders
building.
In the building.
Maybe it would have a higher score on Rotten Tomatoes if I knew the title.
Rob, what is your opinion, since we've been getting a lot of your opinions today, what is your opinion of Elvira?
Elvira, the Mistress of the Dark?
Yes.
I think she still manages to look stunning. And
so you're a fan.
I am. And also, I think she has turned one joke into quite a career, considering the fact she's got a good past. She has pretty good, a pretty solid comedy past, so I like her.
All right. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, just released a new memoir called Yours Cruelly, Elvira, and it contains a pretty legit bombshell. She has been in a 19-year relationship with a woman. She
Whoa.
Kept the relationship quiet all these years to protect the Elvira character, but obviously she's ready to live her truth now. On a more sober note, Elvira also claims that NBA legend Wilt Chamberlain forced her to give him oral.
Oh.
Here's the quote. When a 7-foot-1, 300-pound man has his hand wrapped around your neck, there's really not a lot you can do.
Ooh. No,
Wilt once boasted that he'd slept with 20,000 women, and Elvira now wonders how many of those encounters were non-consensual. That's a bombshell in
yeah.
the book. Elvira also confirms the old rumor that she had sex with Tom Jones when she was a Vegas showgirl.
I'd heard that.
And ended up in the ER with an injury because he was so down there.
Wow.
She actually had to go to the ER.
Mike, that
sounds like BS to me, but who knows?
You know? That is unusual.
So that's Wilt Chamberlain, unwanted, Tom Jones in the ER because he was, and you know, she's in a relationship 19 years with a woman.
Do you remember the scene in Pee-wee's Big Adventure when he's in the biker bar? And,
yes,
and the bikers all give him a hard time. And a buxom biker comes over, a lady biker, and says, "I say you let me have my way with him." And sort of grabs him by the head. That's actually Elvira in a cameo appearance because she and Pee-wee go way back.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But she's not in the Elvira makeup in that.
And her, but she's got the Elvira cleavage.
Yes, she does.
You gotta believe her. We gotta figure out what they say, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's Tom. Tom Jones. On Monday night, the Rolling Stones played their first gig. Oh, this makes me... I love the story. I hate the story, and you'll know why I hate the story. They played their first gig since Charlie Watts' death at a private event hosted by Patriots owner Robert Kraft. Of course.
I like the Rolling Stones.
Hey, let me get the Rolling Stones to play here.
He's got the money. He can be Randy McBratterson.
What would we do?
Yeah, he's the guy.
You know?
Mick Jagger kicked off the show with a tribute to Charlie. All right, is it me?
No.
Is it me that I'm saying? They should have played tribute to Charlie. You do that for the public.
Yeah.
Not for a private show. That's not when you do it, whores. Sorry. Right? Am I wrong about that? Why am I pissed off about that?
The world's greatest rock and roll band has always been about making the most money. And jeez, I'm sure this
was
one
their first show since. Well,
It is. It's like the first show since Charlie, and it should have been in a stadium somewhere.
Yeah, because the tour is coming
up. Anyway, Mick kicked off the show with a tribute to Charlie. He said, quote, "This is our first tour in 59 years that we've done without our lovely Charlie Watts. We all miss Charlie so much. We miss him as a band. We miss him as friends on and off the stage. And we've got so many memories of Charlie. And I'm sure that some of you have seen us before. Some of you who have seen us before have got memories of Charlie as well. And I hope you will remember him like we do. So we'd like to dedicate this show to Charlie." What, the private show for Bob Kraft? God, that makes me mad!
Mike, was Charlie Stuang-Stabilak even contacted to fill in as drummer?
I don't think so. And if something happens, you'll know.
Okay.
You know?
Just a thought.
Honky Tonk Woman! Honky Tonk Woman! Then Ronnie Wood said, "Charlie, we're praying for you, man, and playing for you." The Stones officially relaunched their No Filter tour on Sunday in St. Louis. Why is this bothering me so much?
It should.
What is the deal?
Because what you don't have in the story is that when Keith got up to sing his solo song, I think he said he was going to do Happy. He got up and he said, "Where's Charlie?"
BuzzFeed recently conducted a quiz to find out how people feel about common flying habits. And they got well over 100,000 responses. Here are the highlights. Which seat is the best? 70% say it's the window seat. 29% with the aisle. 1% picked the middle seat.
Pony.
That's an interesting people.
Pony likes the middle.
Which is easier, just a carry-on or a checked bag? 63% chose carry-on. 37% said they'd rather check
they
don't have to lug it around.
You prefer the window, don't you?
I prefer the always. Yeah,
you like
absolutely.
I like the aisle because you're never having to inconvenience people to get out if you need to get out.
I stay, I'm a camel, so I don't have to pee that often.
I pee all the time.
I really, really like to see where we are. If there's terrain, I like to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And, it's that control thing. What's the best airplane snack? 45% said cookies. 41% said pretzels. 14% said peanuts. Although those are rare on planes now due to allergy policies. I would go with the peanuts, but you don't get them anymore.
My favorite is hot soup.
Mike, when you
have hot soup. Yes, go ahead.
When you travel, you don't expect any. I don't expect anything anymore. I expect nothing.
I don't either.
Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing.
Sad, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It really is. Do you recline your seat? 45% of polite people, said no because it's rude to the person behind you. 43% of the pigs said yes, but only if they're trying to sleep. Which on any long flight is everybody.
Yeah, and the reclining is only 4 inches. You can sleep sitting up too, jerk.
12% said yes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know those people because they get on, and as soon as they get in the seat, it's back in your
knees. Of course.
That's the way that goes. And do you use the onboard bathroom? 68% said yes. 32% said no. No word about big or small potty, though, on that particular issue. I would rather die than go big potty in an airplane toilet.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I have to concur.
Sometimes you got to go.
Sometimes you got to go, Oscar, mm-hmm. but being a man of smaller stature than Rob and I, it's a space issue.
I'm sure that it's the same person that brings in Chinese food before takeoff. This mooshu's talking to me.
This might disappoint some of the chillins out there.
Yeah.
McDonald's has announced that they're phasing out plastic toys in Happy Meals. They're not ditching the toys themselves, just the plastic.
Okay.
Which they say will drastically be cut out by 2025. That goal will reduce unrecycled virgin plastic use by 90%. And that's significant because McDonald's sells more than 1 billion toys each year. They're also planning to recycle old plastic toys to make new restaurant trays. The whole tray?
Mike, this is very fun because they're replacing the plastic toys with toys made of leather.
Yeah. More cows are going to die.
Well, they're already killed.
Well, no, they killed them anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
As for the future, McDonald's is working with toy companies to develop things like three-dimensional cardboard superheroes or board games with plant-based pieces. The new toys will begin rolling out in January, which I think is really wonderful.
All girls and boys love toys.
Who doesn't love a toy? Do you ever have a moment that makes you feel like you're in a horror movie? A new homeowner in the UK discovered behind a wall an old rag doll. All right. I guess he was doing some kind of renovation. I guess it wasn't intended. Or maybe the hole was there. But there was a hole, because I saw a picture of this,
right.
And there's this horrifying-looking rag doll. It gets worse, this story.
Okay.
It also had a note where the doll introduced itself as Emily, and it killed the original owners, and ended with, "I hope you all have knives. Sleep well."
Oh, my God.
The homeowner's friends are spooked, but he isn't bothered by it. The doll was found in an area that was recently renovated, so he thinks it was just planted in there a few years ago as a joke.
Ha ha.
His next-door neighbor told reporters, "I hope he also has some rusty spoons."
Oh.
Because we're going to talk to his neighbor right now.
Oh, no, 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 no! No!
Hello. I've moved in next door to you. Hello, Hubert Cumberdale and Marjorie Stewart Baxter. Can I rub your doorknob? It looks a little rusty. Hold on a second.
Oh, no.
I think I'm going to dig out in my backyard for some ugly bodies. Thank
you. There you go. That's all I have.
I don't care for that.
Can you tell I jumped the impression without setting it up properly? I went right into that before.
I had a situation happen in Bolivia when we were renovating the house my dad lives in now.
Yes.
We found a pan flute shaped like the Atlantic Ocean, and it said, "You'll never win a war."
Good callback.
Welcome to La Paz, people.
All right, we got to take a break. Oh. We'll come back with the Nostalgia Corner and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Today, something really, really old, hence the word nostalgia.
Exactly.
Is it a tribute to Steve Martin?
Touché.
We'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you, Marjorie Stewart Baxter.
Yeah, boy.
Rick Schofield.
Let's kick it.
O'Mara.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
All right, stop.
Tune it in
and listen.
Mike is back with the podcast invention.
Download.
TMOS on the daily. Become a P1 just like
Sherry Daily. Mike.
Oscar, Rob, and Pony. That's the crew of my podcast home.
I got a fever. And the only prescription
is an annual bonus subscription.
Go
to MikeO'MaraShow.com. Like the views of a comedy laugh bomb.
iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.
Spotify, make your smartphone richer.
Love it or leave it, you better hit play. You'll eat it all up.
Yo,
the whole tray?
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while Pony revolves.
Mike, baby.
Woo!
Need to work it out.
Is that Pony that did that? That's scary if it was. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. We were talking about Animal Kingdom, and one of the funniest scenes, really, if you can do the you know, a robbery and comedy at the same time, is they rob this yacht. They get on this yacht to rob these young hedge fund type guys that are on this particular yacht, and they don't have any cash because they're playing for dollars, and the dollars all represent $10,000 of Bitcoin.
Oh,
it really
is.
It's really a great scene in Animal Kingdom. You know, cryptocurrency might feel like a super secret or exclusive club, but Coinbase believes that everyone everywhere should be able to get in the door. Whether you've been trading for years or just getting started, Coinbase can help. If you identify as crypto curious, Coinbase makes learning to buy and sell simple. Coinbase offers a trusted and easy-to-use platform to buy, sell, and spend cryptocurrency. Plus, they support the most popular digital currencies on the market and make them accessible to everyone. They offer portfolio management and protection, learning resources, and a mobile app so you can trade securely and monitor your crypto all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. Whether you're looking to diversify or just getting started, visit the website and check it out. It's a great time to get started. For a limited time, new users can get $5 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/TMOS. That's coinbase.com/TMOS for $5 in free Bitcoin. This offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/TMOS. And thank you, Coinbase, for sponsoring our show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we're bringing him back after a wonderful run with all the murders in the building or whatever the hell that show was called. I give you the Nostalgia Corner, back by popular demand with our own Mr. Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Mike, the year is 1933. Franklin Delano Roosevelt is inaugurated for the first time. Construction begins on the Golden Gate Bridge. The New Deal is introduced, beginning the end of the Great Depression. And of course, Dom DeLuise is born. But that's not important right
now. What year?
1933.
33.
33. America is at peace, but in the movie theaters, the Marx Brothers are headed off to war in Duck Soup. Now, Duck Soup, in 2007, the AFI ranked it as the 60th greatest motion picture of all time, and in the year 2000, ranked it number 5 as America's funniest movies of all time.
It's 2020.
Yes.
Why not give us a more recent stuff?
They don't do it every year, jerk. I mean, Oscar.
It's been 20 years.
I misspoke. Oscar, what can you tell me about the Marx Brothers? What do you? When I say Marx Brothers, what do you think?
Karl Marx, communist.
Knew exactly what he was going to say. Still a good joke, but wrong. There are 4 brothers. Can you name any of them?
Oh, no.
Skid.
Luigi?
Well, there is one with an Italian accent.
I can name him.
Okay.
Can I do it?
Yeah, please.
Can I play?
King Koopa? Sure.
Groucho?
Exactly.
Chico?
Right.
Zeppo?
Right.
And
think large musical instrument.
Trombone.
And
bigger than that.
Snare drum.
Piano.
No. A stringed instrument.
Bongo.
Harpo.
Exactly. Those are the 4 Marx Brothers. And this, amazingly, was the last Paramount picture made by all 4 Marx Brothers.
Did they
wear
the little mustaches?
Well, no. Well, Groucho had a mustache.
Yeah.
Groucho did.
Yeah.
Groucho was the most famous of the Marx Brothers.
Longest career. And also, the film was called Duck Soup. Do either of you know what duck soup means?
Duck soup means you're in a Chinese restaurant and you've got a really delicious fowl that is being cooked in a soup.
Actually, in the 1930s, duck soup was American slang, meaning something that's extraordinarily easy to do, like easy as pie. It's duck soup. That's
hey,
how easy it is.
It's duck soup, baby.
I love it. This was the final film for Marx brother, Zeppo Marx, who said he was sick of being called the unfunny Marx brother. So he left the group.
Wait, so these guys were like the Baldwins before the Baldwins?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
like
but they were,
well, no,
they
I mean,
were,
they, no,
the
they were the three. They were the Three Stooges before the Three Stooges.
Yeah, they were a comedy team that were actually
right?
brothers.
Right? Would I have my timeline right about that?
Exactly.
Did Robert Downey Jr. do a Marx Brothers?
No, he did Chaplin.
No.
Oh,
he did Chaplin, his
guys.
Best, in my opinion, his best movie.
Yeah, a really good movie. A really good movie.
Better than anything else he's done.
So Zeppo, when he left the group of the Marx Brothers, he actually, this was long enough ago in 1933, he essentially invented the role of the Hollywood agent to battle the studios representing one client at a time. Pretty fascinating.
That he when was you able say to, he invented the role, what, there, as a character?
No, no, there was really no...
You mean he invented the job
The role of the agent in the life of a Hollywood star.
Yeah, but when you're talking about actors, that's not the right way to express it.
Okay, he invented the position of a Hollywood agent.
So he negotiated all the Marx Brothers deals?
He worked, I think he represented some of the Marx Brothers and some of the other stars. Yeah, because he was, you know, from the outside looking in at that time, he knew how to sort of operate both sides.
What was Zeppo? All right, Chico
was named
Harpo. Harpo played, who was the piano? Chico played the piano, correct?
Right. And
he was the great piano player. Harpo was the one that was silent and communicated with a horn.
Yeah, exactly.
What did Zeppo do?
Zeppo was usually the romantic lead. Sort of.
Okay.
And he oftentimes was cast as Groucho's son, which is weird because they're only like 6 years apart. And also an interesting thing is that Zeppo's widow would eventually marry Frank Sinatra. Mm. So there is that sort of correlation there. In this movie, Groucho plays Rufus T. Firefly, Chico plays Chicolini, Harpo plays Pinky, and of course, Margaret Dumont plays Mrs. Teasdale, the wealthy dowager, a character very common in these movies. Also, great comedian Edgar Kennedy, the master of the slow burn, plays the owner of a lemonade cart that they have run-ins with. But all of that, a lot of that is done almost in pantomime. Because Harpo is versus him.
You know, Rob, as somebody who doesn't know anything about the Marx Brothers, when I'm looking at Zeppo, Marx, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, he doesn't look like he fit in at all.
No, but
I mean, it was just like he was so different that there was no, there weren't any props.
No, and like, just no, like Stephen Baldwin.
The weird thing about him, though, is that in retrospect, they say off stage, he was every bit as funny and charming as the other Marx Brothers. He just didn't have a role amongst his brothers.
Like Alec was Harpo. Or Marx.
No, Alec would be Groucho.
Alec was Groucho.
Groucho, I'm sorry. Yeah. Alec's Groucho.
Right. And I guess Steven would probably be Chico.
Okay, there you go.
The movie was...
Did you say Chico?
You see,
isn't that Chico?
You hear it pronounced both ways. And I think Groucho said Chico.
Are you trying to be like, in the know with your pronunciation?
Because
I picked up on that. You kind of tried to get away with it.
He got his name for chasing chicks. That's why they called him Chico.
Is Chico and the Man the same show?
No, different show.
Why did they spell it C-H-I-C-O instead? Why didn't they spell it C-H-I-C-K-O?
I don't know, but I know how Groucho pronounced it. He called him Chico. But you know what? I grew up saying Chico, so I accept both. I do accept.
Okay. I thought it was a silent film. How do you know how he said?
No. The Marx Brothers were definitely a talking group. Harpo never spoke.
It wasn't a silent picture.
The movie was directed, Mike, by Leo McCary, who would go on to do many classic films like Going My Way, My Favorite Wife, and I think this is one you're a fan of, An Affair to Remember, the Cary Grant, Deborah Carr movie where they meet on the Empire State Building at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, so he was a very notable director, but he was also tremendously religious, socially aware, and anti-war, which comes into play in this movie. Here's the plot. The country of Fredonia, and that's where they live, is in the middle of a financial crisis and on the brink of revolution. In order to gain a bailout from the wealthy Mrs. Teasdale, the government appoints Rufus T. Firefly as their president.
As chairwoman of the reception committee, I extend the good wishes of every man, woman, and child of Fredonia.
Never mind that stuff. Take a card.
Card? What'll I do with the card?
You can keep it. I've got 51 left. Now, what were you saying?
As chairwoman of the reception committee, I welcome you with open arms.
Is that so? How late do you stay open?
I've sponsored your appointment because I feel you are the most able statesman in all Fredonia.
Well, that covers a lot of ground. Say, you cover a lot of ground yourself. You better beat it. I hear they're going to tear you down and put up an office building where you're standing. You can leave in a taxi. If you can't get a
fat
taxi,
joke,
you can leave
right?
in a huff. If that's too soon, you can leave in a minute and a half. You know you haven't stopped talking since I came here? You must have been vaccinated with a phonograph needle.
Meanwhile, next to Fredonia is the country of Sylvania.
Wait, they were talking about vaccinations.
Exactly.
Whoa. That's pretty timely, isn't
Whoa.
It?
It comes back, yeah.
Spanish flu?
Prophetic.
But phonograph needle, not as current as the vaccination. The country of Sylvania wants to take over Fredonia, and they're going to do so by having the president marry Mrs. Teasdale. So they need to discredit Firefly. That's the Groucho character, because Mrs. Teasdale loves him. So they hire spies who are played by Chico, and Harpo. And they say he must be shadowed.
Well, you remember you gave us a picture of this man.
Oh, and by the way, for no reason ever explained to anybody, Chico speaks with an Italian accent. That's just it's a holdover from vaudeville. He was Italian.
Because they had to restore it from silent film. They weren't worried about that.
I suppose, Oscar, so this is my favorite silent film with talking in it.
Well, you remember you gave us a picture of this man and said follow him?
Oh, yes. Well, we get on the job right away. And in the 1 hour, even in less than 1 hour.
Yes?
We lose the pics. That's a pretty quick wait, eh?
I want a full detailed report of your investigation.
All right, I tell you. Monday, we watch the Firefly's house, but he no come out. He wasn't home. Tuesday, we go to the ball game, but he fool us. He no show up. Wednesday, he go to the ball game, and we fool him. We no show up. Thursday was a doubleheader. Nobody show up. Friday, it rained all day. There was no ball game. So we stayed home. We listened to her over the radio.
Then you didn't shadow Firefly.
Oh, sure, we shadow Fire. We shadow him all day.
But what day was that?
Saturday. That's some joke, eh, boss?
Now, the movie, the plot is almost not even consequential. As you described earlier, Mike, it's gag after gag.
Thank
after
God
gag
for that.
After gag after gag. And
is there a shorter clip maybe you could have picked?
You know what? This is fun. I like that you're all having a good time, too. The movie is pure insanity, and it marks the last time that the Marx Brothers performed outside.
Can you find let him do it. This is his fun. He's enjoying this. Let him enjoy this. And there's a segment of our audience that's enjoying this.
Yeah, they're dead.
Most of them are going to say they've been buried for years, but they love it. This is the last time they made a movie without true studio influence. There's no romantic subplot. There's no musical numbers that are serious musical numbers. Because what happened is when they would leave Paramount and go to MGM, they would become ultimately a more profitable organization.
They went out on their own.
No, they went over to MGM and they would make it
They went to Talkies from Silence.
They went over to MGM and they tried to make them more mainstream by softening the characters. This is anarchy. Mm. And also the thing that is sort of
amazing. We're really running late.
Okay. I suggest you go see Duck Soup. You'll like it.
Duck Soup. You like Duck Soup. What's your closing paragraph?
My closing paragraph is this, is the fact that in 1933, even though America was at peace, these people were... They had the ability to see what was going on.
How do you tolerate us? How do you tolerate us? I ask you that question.
I want your
how
closing paragraph to be "fuck you" and "fuck you." That's what I want that to be.
Someday no, you make it your wish.
He was right about the Steve Martin short thing, and now he's doing the.
Can you pull
Marx
LeBron
Brothers
Tomatoes duck soup?
I wish I loved
that.
It. I wish I've tried because of Rob. I've tried to watch the Marx Brothers.
What does Rotten Tomatoes say about Duck Soup? I'm just curious, I'll finish up in the time that you take to that. I will say this: that war was brewing. Seeds were planted in Europe at the time this movie was being made.
91%.
Even though America,
Hey Pony, I sometimes like to do my own research. 91%.
Thank you.
It's a very funny movie.
We're not wrong about this.
The thing is, the USA was at peace. We're coming out of the Depression. Yeah. The seeds of World War II have been planted in Europe.
In its day, it probably translated very well. I don't think it does now. I don't think it has for decades, to be honest with you. That's just my opinion.
All right. Benito Mussolini hated the movie and banned it in Italy because he thought it was making fun of the Italian government.
Oh, wow.
And when that got back to the Marx Brothers, they flipped their lid. They were so happy because they were making social commentary at the time, and the people didn't realize it. The movie is under 70 minutes long, and every frame is perfect. And the weird thing is the whole movie, really the theme, is government based on trying to get a woman to fall in love with you so you can take over the country. And there was no one that could seduce a woman like Groucho.
Can't you see what I'm trying to tell you? I love you. Why don't you marry me? I can see you right now in the kitchen bending over a hot stove, but I can't see the stove. I suppose you think me a sentimental old fluff, but would you mind giving me a lock of your hair?
A lock of my hair? Why, I had no idea.
I'm letting you off easy. I was going to ask for the whole wig.
It's a great, great gateway drug if you want to learn about
it. You picked a couple of good lines. Yeah. I laughed at both of those lines.
If you want to get into the Marx Brothers, this is a great one to see. And the anti-war sentiment, it's pretty solid nowadays. I like it.
All right. We're going to take a short break. Coming up,
and
the comedy.
To both of you.
All right. Yeah, we were supportive during that. Yeah. Coming up, the comedy of Norm Crosby as we on the Rob Spiewak Show. We'll take a break and be right back, everybody.
Yeah. Well,
I meant to play that.
Maybe
sorry.
Something else sucks around here. People suck.
Now, I know I've done this before, but I want to try it again. A new idea to replace the mailbag.
People suck.
Has someone done something that just so gets under your skin that complaining to your partner or your children or anybody in your room or your close friends just isn't enough? Someone who's done something so egregious and
more.
It's such a violation of your social norms that you want to scream it.
Here's what we do, folks, is you email me, Rob with two B's, rob@mikeomarashow.com. Make sure you write in the subject line.
People suck, people suck, people suck.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. When it comes to thinning hair, you no longer have to choose between natural remedies and those that work. There's a holistic solution for men that promotes both healthier hair and whole body wellness without drugs or prescriptions. Did you know that there are five root causes of thinning hair? Nutrafol is the hair supplement that goes beyond genetics to target stress hormones, nutrition, metabolism, and environmental factors that may be impacting your hair. Nutrafol is clinically shown to improve hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage without compromise. 21 potent natural ingredients also support sex drive, better sleep, and less stress. In a clinical study, men showed progressive improvement in hair growth and thickness after 3 and 6 months. Nutrafol is also trusted and recommended by more than 1,500 top doctors. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code TMOS to save $15 off your first month subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code TMOS. All right, did you get everything in that
Yes.
you wanted to get in
and
about
and I swear that if people take the hour and 9 minutes it takes to watch this movie, you're going to enjoy yourself. I promise you. And it can be off-putting because the movie is now nearing 100 years old,
mm-hmm.
and it's black and white, and it does start with the code that says, you know, National Recovery Administration, we're going to get out of this depression. It puts you in the frame of mind of a long time ago. But the rapid fire pace, and it really falls under the construction that Mike talked about at the front of the show. Gag after gag after gag after gag after gag. There is a modicum of plot to stitch it together, but the laughs come fast.
What's the movie where he sings Lydia the Tattooed Lady?
That's At the Circus, and that, as a rule, is not one of their better movies, because, again, that was at MGM. There was a guy at MGM named Irving Thalberg that was a genius, and he saw them as an opportunity to make a lot of money for MGM, but he wanted to increase their audience. So what he did is he would take a 75-minute comedy, stretch it into a 110-minute movie by adding a good-looking leading man, a romantic subplot, several sappy musical numbers, mm-hmm. so that if a guy like me says, I want to go and laugh, I can say to my wife, come on, you can come to this movie. It has Alan Jones singing in it.
Yeah.
And so there was something for everybody. And so their box office would go up, 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 but their comedic credibility was somehow pulled down.
Got it.
So, and they came from the stage. And another thing they did, I'm sorry, go ahead. This is fascinating.
I thought your segment was over.
So did I. But he opened up Pandora's box, so enjoy. They were the first motion picture stars to take set pieces like comedy routines on the road to play them on stage to live audiences. So in the movie, they know how long to pause
like
for laughs.
Like Steve-O.
A little bit, yeah. But they know how long to pause for. There was a great scene where Harpo coughed a loogie into Groucho's eye. No, not really. No, they would. They
I
would
like
know.
The one where Groucho jumps out of the plane and
he emits.
Who didn't go to bed thinking about that last night?
I woke up thinking about it. But they knew the timing for an audience for pausing for laughter.
I love you, and I'm sure people love this. But like in my head, I'm here. Womp 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 womp.
You're hearing the Charlie Brown teacher.
Just driving me nuts.
Rob, I watched on Turner Classic Movies, I watched an entire old movie the other
night.
What
movie?
Humphrey Bogart movie, The Harder They Fall. You ever watch that one?
Boxing movie.
It's one of
his later movies, and he plays a hard-boiled, is it a boxing promoter or manager?
Boxing, like, press agent.
Yeah, he's such a great
actor.
It's
really good.
Yeah, he didn't make many
really,
bad pictures.
Really good.
He didn't. The only thing is that when you get...
I called him overrated one time on this show and got a lot of attack mail for that, for people that like nostalgia.
I love when you see a Bogart movie from the latter part of his career, and they do, like, a full body shot, and you realize that his face is a quarter of his height. Because he had
just looked it up. The Harder They Fall got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I think you'll find the bulk of Bogart's films
I'm
will have
so
over 90.
I'm so vindicated. I didn't expect that.
It's
would you like
appeal.
To recommend a movie since
we want people to learn about things they want to learn about, right? They can't just go to Wikipedia for this nonsense. Let's go maybe something from the 80s or the 70s.
What's an 80s
Raging
movie?
Raging Bull.
Raging Bull.
Yeah, it's 1980,
phenomenal film.
I think. Yeah.
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 Raging Bull. I'll
Black
give you another
white.
One.
Yeah, like The Color of Money.
That's green.
Yes.
Oh, you
That's
meant the
Paul Newman version.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know what? The Color of Money is not as good as The Hustler.
Which was the precursor to that,
where he
right?
played Fast Eddie Felsen against Gleason as the fat man.
I think The Color of Money, there is a period in Tom Cruise's career where Tom Cruise is so Tom Cruisey,
that
it grosses me out. If you want to see, and I've always said this to people, if you're somebody who's on the fence, and by the way, the body of work with Tom Cruise, some great movies, really great movies that I'd watch again and again and again.
Yeah.
If you want to see Tom Cruise at his flesh crawling cruisiest, get the movie Cocktail.
I was going to say.
And watch posing,
one of my favorites.
Dancing. He's so smarmy in it, and he's so I'm cute little Tom Cruise that it's just. And I love the actress that's in it too. I forgot what her name, Elizabeth Shue.
Yes,
who I had a crush
from
on.
Adventures
I think she's
and
fantastic.
Babysitting.
Yeah,
yes, yeah, wonderful actress.
I'm wearing a pair of them now.
That's the cruisiest. That's the one that I can't stand.
What
I can't
about
stand
Caligula?
It. I can't.
You like oldies?
Oh, hey,
tell us about that one.
Oscar loves this. So
Caligula,
really
I love. There's a little nostalgia.
Yeah,
let me do something for the pervs in the audience.
Okay.
And I'll do. Five, let me see. No, I don't have any money. I mean, I don't have any time, and I don't have any money.
Mike,
let me do 1 minute. Let me do 1 minute.
That was such a Groucho take you just did.
I
don't have any money. I don't have any time, but I also don't have any time.
Don't have any money. 1 minute on Caligula.
All right, go.
All right. I believe you could put on Caligula. Do not watch this with children. This is an adult film.
Thank you, Mike.
This is an X-rated adult film, and I think it is a tour de force. I think it is one of the first real pornography movies that incorporated a real plot line, and the insane Malcolm McDowell as the emperor, the Roman emperor Caligula, and it is I still have scenes in that represent to me the decadence of the Roman Empire, and it's hyper violent, it's sexually hypercharged in that department as well, and if the Roman Empire was like that, it had to be a pretty terrifying world to live in. But of course the people at the top of the food chain were enjoying their lives. But everybody else, but Malcolm McDowell as the Emperor Caligula. Mm. Have you ever seen it, Oscar? Have you ever seen it?
Yeah, and all
in
I can
entirety?
Remember is, man, I wish they had a Harry's Razor endorsement.
You know what? I saw there is an R-rated cut. There's an R-rated cut that they would have shown in Cinemax occasionally. I never saw the original.
It's not worth watching the R-rated cut because it's just not the same.
Will you entertain
it's
a question?
It's not the same. You have to see the... Yes, go ahead.
True or false, when you watch the banquet scenes, they were most reminiscent of WAVA ratings parties.
Absolutely. Without the penthouse pets, unfortunately. But as Oscar said, it was, you know, things get a little hairy once in a while. They really do. So that's it. But I'll tell you, there's one, you know, when Peter O'Toole, who is the emperor before Caligula, finds the guard that is drunk on duty and kills him in a very horrific way. It's pretty nasty. And they show a lot. They show a lot. But
they show a lot, Damone.
Well, you know, it's a fantasy.
Have you ever watched an adult film?
Yeah, I have. I have other fantasies, though.
But the difference between this adult film and other adult films is this is really a movie.
It is.
This isn't just a
film. Just like Behind the Green Door.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never watched Behind the Green Door. Never saw it. Never had the pleasure.
I will tell you.
And by the way, older porno movies, they call them vintage in the genre.
Yeah.
They kind of gross me out.
Not great.
Because they're not as
What about
clean.
Porky's?
That's not a
Porky's,
porno.
Not a porno. Just R-rated. Hard R. We'll be right back.
Have you heard the latest bonus show? If you haven't, here's what you missed.
I'm just going to be back here with my candle.
Happy birthday, dear Carla.
You can't give me anything. Nothing.
Candle with a match.
Candle with a match.
You're such a tiny little pinky.
I'm sure Dirk has photos of her hand.
I'm the devil, and I'm here to do the devil's business.
Yeah, well, you're going to get bitten in the crotch by a big stinky dog.
The physical calendar is the worst.
Why?
Unless it's all of David Hasselhoff or Dolph Lundgren. And
to my guys that love me, thank you.
If you don't have a bonus show subscription, what are you waiting for? It's your only chance to get that fifth hour of comedy power delivered to your device every Friday. Be a part of the fun and get your subscription now at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Took my brat out to lunch today to the little Vietnamese place around the corner and watched her working two phones at the same time. Mm. It was amazing.
Is that distressing or is it hot?
Well, it's kind of like her business, her boyfriend, her business,
yeah,
her boyfriend.
Did you ever get, he won't leave me alone. He's eating so slow.
He just wanted to come out. I'm sorry. What would the name be? I'm sorry.
Caleb.
I'm sorry, Caleb. Oh. He wants me to go. Come on, Carla. Come on back. Come on back to the truck. Come on back to the truck with the big, the raised truck with the big old wheels.
Your wife is not a lot lizard. How dare you?
I know.
Now I have to. That'd be a big 18 wheel truck. I'm talking about a pickup truck with big old tires.
Gotcha.
Maybe you do it.
Summer is over and it's back to the grind. Establishing a consistent bedtime and wake time routine is key. Because quality sleep helps boost energy, recovery, and well-being. Sleepers who use their Sleep Number 360 smart bed features and Sleep IQ technology get almost 100 hours more of quality sleep per year. Here's a fun fact. Over 33% of Sleep IQ sleepers have a preferred sleep number setting of 35, 40, or 45. That's softer than the one I use. I use anywhere between a 65 and maybe sometimes an 85 if I really want to make my back recover. But remember, it's completely adjustable to you. Don't forget, children need quality sleep just as much as you do.
Yeah,
kids need sleep to help them be happy, healthy, and productive in school, at home, and during after-school activities. Sleep IQ technology shows your ideal sleep-wake schedule and the best times for working out and winding down. It improves your bedtime and wake time consistency. So, go to bed, wake up at the same time, even on weekends, dim the lights, bright lights keep the body alert, and keep a nighttime room temperature of 65 to 67 degrees, which is ideal for quality sleep. Get a Sleep Number bed. I wouldn't sleep on anything else. Great day. A great day starts the night before. My Sleep Number setting is now a 75. Carla is holding steady. Carla's, I think, at a 70 now. It's time to discover the Sleep Number 360 smart bed right now. You can enjoy special offers, but only for a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores or at sleepnumber.com/TMOS. That's sleepnumber.com/TMOS.
He didn't get enough sleep last night.
Thank you very much. Let's open up the thing after that.
Turn it.
Six page. Oh. All right. Take it away, Rob.
I have never in my life felt as happy as this. Now, this is an unmitigated, incontrovertible, uncompromising feeling of ecstasy.
That is the Squire Jack Hancock after he watched the movie Caligula.
He loved it that much.
He loved
it. Went to see it at the Biograph in Georgetown. Fantastic
Biograph.
Guy. Yes, the Biograph. That's where it ran for months down there at the Biograph.
Quick
in
right
Georgetown.
Turn. Now, this is no secret to anyone who has listened to the show for a while. I am not a fan of the Family Guy. I think they take the cheap joke too often. I just don't. It's never really appealed to me. However, that's
I don't know
said,
it. I don't watch it.
It's so wonderful.
Wonderful is it's probably it's not beloved. The best word. Beloved maybe.
It's a pop culture icon, yeah, like iconic series.
The simple,
I don't want to make this all about arguing. I don't want to make this all about arguing, but how can you say the cheap joke when you talk about the Marx Brothers, who are the ultimate cheap joke?
You made
guys.
A Fresh
in
Prince
what way?
Joke.
Just making hack jokes about a fat lady in front of a stove?
Mike?
You don't think that is a cheap... You don't think that saying, hey, now I can't even see the stove.
Yeah,
that,
but you know
not,
what? 100 years ago,
cheap?
100 years ago, it might have been a different comedic landscape than right now.
Okay, I'll give
we
you that.
We live right, in 2021.
I wish you didn't.
Let it go.
All right,
I wish you didn't. I wish you didn't.
But anyway...
And with it, 100 years ago, no one cares.
You want to talk about not caring? The thing is he asked me a question, I answered it.
I'm just saying. Okay.
I'm just saying. The Marx Brothers are.
Now you're.
What are you okay, stop it, boys. Stop
this
it.
Is the, what's this next? Is this the, is your the, comedy genius. Genius.
Look, right, look at this.
The wit.
We've got. All right. We've got. What's the next
goddamn
thing?
Goddamn right.
I feel like I'm in
right.
kindergarten class.
I don't
right
care
now.
For the Family Guy as a rule, but I appreciate the fact that they did this. And the way they did it is they took their buffoonish lead character, Peter Griffin, and made him an idiot.
Is that the guy that talks like that?
Exactly.
Is that the father?
Yeah.
That's the father with Seth
MacFarlane.
And MacFarlane,
they use him as the stooge, so to speak, for a COVID PSA.
And Hey, Johnny. Johnny, how are you? I'm recovered. I got all my stuffing back. I'm just busting your balls. I thought it'd be funny if you thought I was that word. My mom doesn't.
Anyway,
want me, so.
I appreciate the fact that they did this PSA. It was trending yesterday.
As of now, billions of COVID vaccines have been administered safely to people around the world.
All right, well, what Peter might ask is, what if the vaccine makes him sick?
The common side effects from the COVID vaccines are generally mild and last a few days. But do you know what can have serious long-term side effects? COVID.
Well, you know, he also says he just figures everyone else is going to get it, so why does he have to?
Well, what he should understand is that getting the shot not only protects him, but also the people around him. But even more importantly, if the virus is allowed to spread through an unvaccinated population, it could mutate into a variant that the vaccines might not protect against. And then we're right back where we started. Gal Gadot singing Imagine. We cannot let that happen.
Well, you know, I just realized this is like one of those Schoolhouse Rocks. Except, you know, without the rock.
Yeah, it's like school. Way to end strong, Brian.
So get your shots, folks, okay?
Okay, I don't know if it's been said before, if it has, shut me down right away.
All right.
I'm walking out, got my flu shot today. Went and got the flu shot at the drugstore.
CVS, yep. No problem.
Shoe fly.
Boom, bam.
Went in there, got it. Coming out, I'm saying, how many more would we have been able to get out to the American people if we didn't call it the COVID vaccine and if we said, did you get your COVID shot?
Maybe.
Did you get your COVID shot? Get your COVID shot.
Yeah.
We called it the vaccine. I think the vaccine for some people has a little stigma to it. Just a thought, not an opinion.
Bad marketing.
Just an opinion, not a thought.
Whatever. We get our dogs vaccinated all the time.
Get your COVID shot. Change it from vaccine to shot. Come on now.
COVID shot.
Get your shot yet? You get your shot. There was a guy, was a Florida man who was getting his vaccine today, and you could hear him everywhere. It's like, hey, man, I didn't think I'd need it, but I got to go travel. Bad, bad. And he got his shot, and I said, way to go. Gave him a thumbs up.
And he smiled, and he showed no teeth.
He had two missing.
Okay, well, that's, you know what? Why can't you focus on the 30 that he has?
Absolutely.
You're such a pessimist. You say your computers don't listen to you. Why in God's name, after we talked about this just last week, on my YouTube page, when I open it up, there's a commercial from the 1970s featuring a popular diet candy. Now, this is from 30, 40 years ago, and I think the writing is particularly odd considering what we know now. This was an actual commercial from the 1970s.
I was overweight and looked terrible, but AIDS helped me lose 46 pounds. The AIDS diet plan helped me lose 28 pounds.
AIDS helps control your appetite so you lose weight, yet AIDS lets you taste, chew, and enjoy. And the appetite suppressant in AIDS is not a stimulant.
AIDS helped me to lose 18 pounds, and it doesn't contain anything to make me nervous.
Question, why take diet pills when you can enjoy AIDS? AIDS helps you lose weight without making you jittery.
It was a diet candy, Mike. It was an appetite suppressant. It was spelled AYDS.
That's uncut, and that is amazing.
Right?
It is amazing, and I think enough time has passed, and we, thank God, have gotten a lot of that under control, but not totally. That's just stunning, the way when you look at that, it's hard to not take a look at that from a comedic standpoint.
Yeah, to fathom that happened. But anyway, it was just odd to me that we mentioned it, I think a week and a half ago, AIDS diet candy, and it popped up on my feed. So I just like to share. And I closed with this.
They're listening.
I closed with this from YouTube, Mike. Sometimes grannies are wonderful, sweet women. They really can be. Very nice. But sometimes granny is sitting on the porch with her iPad, and when you greet her, you get this.
Good morning, granny.
Good morning.
Chilly today.
By saying good morning doesn't mean I want you to have a conversation with me.
So granny does not want to talk. That's your digital dumpster.
Send me that, will you please? I'd like to end the show with that. That would be
that grandmother
wonderful.
Loved the Marx Brothers.
That was a very interesting show today. I don't know what happened. I'll maybe think about it later. But I sure enjoyed it. I hope you did too. We're going to be back tomorrow with a brand new episode for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. I'm going to get a cold shower.
Please.
This is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
We don't want you to lose weight. We don't want you to lose weight. We just want you to be healthy.
Okay.
You know, by eating less. Go home and step on a scale and write down how much you weigh and subtract it by like 20.
20.
And then weigh that much.
If that's a joke, I love it. If not, I cannot wait to unpack that with you.
Who did they go to war with? The world.